That was amazing. Yeah, your shame will talk, accuse. You know, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And he stands before the throne night and day, accusing. And the thing is, he thinks that he has a case. And the only one who can give him that case is you. The only one who can call that case valid is you. But your faith in Christ has already nullified any kind of reality his accusations really have. You know, that's the difference between true, things that are true, and truth. This is hot off the wire, so you might as well just get it. But it is true. We all have sinned. We all do it constantly. We all but nobody is in hell because of adultery or drunkenness or whatever the sin may be. Those sins were all laid on Jesus at the cross. All of them. So it's true that yes, we were guilty. Yes, we are guilty. Yes. But the truth is that you have been forgiven and you are now partakers of the grace of God. That qualifies you to receive not only what you don't deserve. Grace is the ability to receive from God what you do not deserve. But it goes beyond that. The grace of God gives you everything that Jesus deserves. You know, in the Old Testament, we had a beautiful picture of the grace of God in the life of a little guy named Mephibosheth, who was one of the grandsons of Jonathan. And one day, after Jonathan had been killed along with Saul by the Philistines, David rose to the throne. And there came a time when he asked one of his servants, he said, "Are there any of Jonathan's relatives that I can show honor to?" And the reason he wanted to show honor to Jonathan's relatives is because David had a covenant with it was a blood covenant that he had with Jonathan, Saul's son. Jonathan loved David. David loved Jonathan. They had an amazing, strong, powerful relationship. And Saul resented that. But Saul had a little tiny mind and a big ego. So it didn't really matter what he thought. But Jonathan and David were... And so this little guy named Mephibosheth, who was a grandson of Jonathan, was living down in a little place called Lodibar, where nothing went on, nothing happened. We don't know what his problem was, but he was lame. He was dropped when he was a child, and so he was lame all his life. So David ordered Mephibosheth to come to his throne room. A little guy who had no self-image other than I'm a burden to everybody else. I mean, did they have wheelchairs or things that he could get around? They didn't have any of that stuff. Maybe they had something for him, but a makeshift something, but he would never be able to do anything by himself, be able to manage the land. In fact, Saul's land had all been taken over at that point. And David ordered Mephibosheth to come. He said, "Sit at my table." He said, "Why am I such a dog as I am invited to your table?" He said, "Because of the covenant that I had with Jonathan." That's the way God looks at you and me. We may have been crippled morally. We may have been crippled in our ability to know God. We may have been so alienated with God. I was an atheist. Genius, huh? And God says, "Sit on my table." You know why? Because God has a covenant with Jesus. And Jesus died for you. And everything that God has now laid up for Jesus is laid up for you. Because it says that, let's go to Romans chapter 8. I want to read this to you. Verse 14. Actually, verse 11, let's go to that. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live by the flesh, we'll die. But if we live according to the spirit, through the spirit, we do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Joint heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If you are a joint heir with Christ, that means everything that belongs to him belongs to you. And he said so much in John chapter 16. He said, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, the Holy Spirit will take those things of mine and show them to you. I don't know about you, but that really rips right through me with a blinding light of revelation that just says, I'm not living according to the privileges that God has given me. Are you? Who's living according to all the privileges that God has given you? I want to dig into this thing. There is a difference between things that are true, as we just saw in the skit, and then things that are the truth that makes you free. This is why he said, continue in my word. He said this to the Jews who believed on him. They knew the law. They knew the prophets. They knew he was the Messiah. They believed it. But yet he said, if you continue in my words, if you continue in my word, and continue, then you know the truth. And the truth will make you free. He was talking to Jews who believed on him, yet they were not free. They had an outward appearance of righteousness, but Jesus said, you're full of dead men's bones on the inside. The problem was not the law. The problem was what was inside of us. And it was a fallen, carnal nature that was incapable of righteousness. Jesus came, paid the price of all of our debt, and then he sent the Holy Spirit to empower us with the same power he walked in when he walked on the earth. You got to look at the foundational things from time to time and know that there is truth and grace. And that is what the entire new covenant is built on. Grace. You say, really? Yeah, it really is. Because grace is the fact that Jesus already died for you before you even got here. He had a plan. He had it all together. He knew exactly what he was going to do to make you free. Free from what? Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Sorry, this is just coming to me, Mansoor. Verse 11, that we be strengthened with might according to his glorious power. Whose glorious power? His glorious power. Strengthened with might. That word might is the word dunamis. It means miraculous power. We be strengthened with might according to his glorious unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. You going through things? I want you to know, we all go through things here. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome it. He said this, you can endure these things. Why? Because you have the greater one on the inside of you. The greater one who sustains you through trials. Jesus had trials. He had people spitting on him. He had people, the religious leaders were accusing him of blasphemy and things. He said, you're accusing me of blasphemy? You're talking to me? He didn't say that, but he said, which of you convinces me of sin? And they all shut up. They couldn't name anything. Of course they couldn't, because it wasn't there. So he said, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. In other words, we endure with long suffering the things that we endure through life. There are disappointments that come. They just do. The devil makes sure of that. God doesn't send trials. There's enough trials here to last you 15 lifetimes. He doesn't need to add more to it. What he gives you is the truth that makes you free and enables you to stand by the power of the Holy Spirit in those trials with joyfulness, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That word translated means that's how God deals with you, as if you are in the kingdom of God, not in the world. You have been delivered from the power of that darkness, the power of accusations from the devil, the power of the temptations that he brings to you ever since the day you were born, and the demons that were assigned to make sure that you never knew anything about Jesus. And there are too many Christians who know nothing about Jesus. They know religion. They know form, religious form. Most people look at us who don't know Jesus, they look at us and say, oh, you're the goody-goodies. If they only knew. We are not the goody-goodies. Jesus didn't come into this world to make bad people good. He came into this world to make dead people alive. You are a new creation. He gave you what? Eternal life. He said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. There are plenty of religions in the world, and there's plenty of lessons to learn from all these kind of religions, but only Jesus can give you eternal life. Only Jesus can give you eternal life. He has the words of eternal life. God gave that word to him when he stood there on that hill and said, you can't obey that law. That's why I'm here. Believe in me, and you will pass from death to life simply by faith in me. Oh, Jesus, the light of the world, and he lights us up, doesn't he? Praise God. Let's turn to John chapter 8 and look at it. Let your eyes just fall on these words from Jesus. Let's read this. In fact, can we go to our weekly confession for a second? Let's just translate and just honor the word for a second. Let's say this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. The word of God is everything. Too many Christians living like church's Sunday drive-in, you know, you pick it up and go, and then you get back Monday morning where things are really important. And it's too bad, really, to live that way, because how many of you know that the word of God is supposed to be a continual flow into our life? It's not just something you do on Sundays. It's something you, it's a gift that he gives you. This is his breath. His blood is in this word. His life is in this word. His breath is in this word. When you, do this. Say, put your hand up to your mouth. Say, God bless you. Do you feel breath hit your fingers when you talk? The word of God contains that breath. This is God breathed. And when you read this word, it's important that you read it out loud so that your breath come out and touch something too, because this is a holy kiss. You have a treasure inside of you, and it's sealed forever with a holy kiss right from the Father God. And when you read this out loud and say it out loud, guess what happens? You're kissing him back. That is grace. That's grace. You know, didn't you kiss your babies when they were first born? That's how he kissed you when you were first born again. Did you, then when you grew up a little bit and you were going off to school and you kiss your mama goodbye and went off to school, you kissed her when you came home. Life is full of kisses. It really is. I remember my first kiss to Lori. Yeah! Okay, are you in John chapter 8 yet?
Yeah.
Good, okay, good place to go. One of the best chapters in all the Gospels is John chapter 8, but there's others equal. Verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed in him, if you continue in my word, see, this isn't Sunday drive-by, pick it up and go, and then dismiss it until next week. This is continue in my word. Then are you my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's an old axiom. It's not the truth that makes you free. It's the truth that you know that makes you free. How do you know the truth? See, I can turn on TV and I can watch these preachers, and they're all speaking things that are true. They're speaking truth. But I don't know about you. I'm not interested in hearing truth. I'm interested on how do I apply truth? How do I get it working in my life? That's what I want to know. I don't want platitudes of, this is truth, and going, well, how do I get it to work in my life? Say, well, you need faith. I thought that's what I was here to get. Yes, that's exactly what we're here to do. We're here to learn how to apply the word and make it a workable substance in our life. That this is not just platitudes and theory. This is spiritual law. How do I partake in it? I know the laws of gravity, the laws of flight and lift and thrust and lift, and all these hydraulic, there are all these natural laws. Well, there's spiritual laws in the Bible. They can put you above sickness. They can put you above disease, put you above need and poverty and lack. Why? Say, you mean I'm supposed to be rich? Well, the Bible says he gives bread to the sower and seed to the sower and bread to the eater so that you may be abundantly full, so that you may have to give. If you don't have it to give, it's not doing any good. Anyhow, so how do I get this working in my life? How do I get the truth working in me? Turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. We're going to read verses 2 and 3. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision. When you read the Bible, write down things that occur to you. That's number one. If you see a promise in the Bible, write it down. Write the vision and make it plain on tables that he may run that reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. God gave you a vision when you were first born again. It's in your heart. It may be covered under a bunch of gunk, and years of gunk, but it's still there. If he spoke it, the word never changes. That vision gave you a dream of what you wanted to be, how you wanted to be in Christ, to know him more and more and more. You had a hunger that was there to know him more, to know him better, and to be able to walk with him. The Bible is a spiritual book. This says, look, write the vision and make it plain on tables. By law of double reference, I believe he's talking about write it on the table of your heart. Write it on the table of your heart. For he says, and then in verse 2, he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. The vision is for an appointed time. You need to take that vision, that dream that you have, write it down on a piece of paper, meditate on it, memorize it, put it in your eyes, speak it out loud. Let it just take precedence over everything else in your heart. Let your heart be filled with that vision. Let it just flood the table of your heart so there's not room for anything else on that table of your heart. So that you are writing it. How do I write it on my heart? Turn to Psalm 45, verse 1. This will tell you. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of things which I made touching the king. Your king is Jesus, right? My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So how do you write it on the table of your heart? You speak that promise. You speak that word. That word of guidance, you speak it out loud. We just read something earlier. He has delivered me from the power of darkness. Say that over and over and over and over and over and over and continue in the word, continue in the word. He has delivered me from the power of darkness. He has delivered me from the power of, he has delivered me from the power of darkness. He's delivered me from the power of darkness. There is no power that can stand against, because a greater one on the inside of me. Just start writing that down on the table of your heart. And then you're strong. You see, the word make you strong with the power of his might, right? We just read that in Colossians 2. That you'll be strengthened with might by his spirit. Well, how's the spirit? He activates. You activate it when you speak the word of God. Speak it. That's how you feed on it. Because when you hear yourself speak, guess what? You have an inner ear. This is an example. I've used it many times. Have you ever listen to yourself on a tape recorder? Does it sound like you? No, it doesn't. I was shocked the first time I heard myself on it. That's not me. Yeah, it's you. Because your family hears you with their outer ear. You hear yourself with your inner ear. And it's two different things. You have an inner ear, and it takes the words that you say and shoves it down in your spirit, in your heart, and starts converting your heart and your expectations. And your affections, it starts to convert it into God's. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, the Bible says. For your life is hidden in Christ, with Christ, in God. So as you speak that word, your spirit is taking it and feeding it, feeding upon it, feeding upon it, feeding, and things start changing in your soul. Your mind is start to be renewed. Because your tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And when you speak, the Holy Spirit is taking that thing and writing it, and writing it. And then, look, let's go back to Habakkuk verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3. And it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. You're building yourself up in the Word of God, and that Word of God is strengthening your heart, strengthening it, empowering it, releasing the life and the healing and the whatever you need, the mercy and the love of God in that word, the very breath of God and everything that he is in that word, and it's flooding you and flooding you. And then, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, When you need that word to come alive, there's the Holy Spirit to and remind you of it. And so you can walk in it with confidence, no matter what the trial is, knowing that you're seeing through that thing and you're coming out. You're walking through the valley, not staying in it. And you have the power to sustain you in that. And you'll have the patience and the endurance to endure it. And you will come out looking good. And you know who's going to look bad? The devil is going to be embarrassed in front of all his demons because he can't hold on to you. Take it, read it, speak it, write it, take it, speak it, read it, write it, and then to come to where you actually believe it. And then when you believe it and you speak it, guess what? Mark 11:23, it comes right into play. For whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Yes. That's the law of faith that God wants to operate in you. And it starts with looking at the word. This, he told Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. That's what God wants for you. That's God's will, for you to have good success. Good success is not worrying about tomorrow and how you're going to feed your kids and how you're going to pay your mortgage, whatever it is. That's not God. God is that you be prosperous and have good success. Success that is filled with peace and fulfillment and not just noisy chatter about fear and everything else. The truth is that God has done everything for you to be one with him. He wants to kiss you. He wants you to kiss him back. He wants to love you. He wants to walk with you, and he wants you to walk with him. God is a good God. The Lord answered me. You know he'll answer you? If he answered a prophet who lived under the Old Testament, I want you to know we have a better covenant based on better promises than he had. And if he answered him, he'll answer you. Jesus walked into a place one time and it was loaded with pigs. Remember that? There was thousands of pigs in this place called Gadara. And no, it wasn't. It was another place. But it might have well been, because that's where you went to get your baby back ribs and ham sandwiches and everything that wasn't kosher. It was a real demonic stronghold, this whole area. And Jesus walked in there, and it was Gadara, because he threw the demon out of the guy and he went into the pigs. The demon was legion, for we are many, it says, and they went into the pigs and the pigs got drowned. And Jesus didn't care if the pigs drowned. He said, I'm not kosher. I mean, I'm a kosher guy anyhow. I don't care about that pork. He was cleaning this place up. He cast the legion out, and then he cast the pigs, and they went down and drowned. He cleaned out the whole area. With what? What's your name? Legion, for we are many. Get out of here! They went to the pigs. Pigs took care of the whole thing. And and it was no longer a sin city. They begged him to leave because of that. I don't know, if I saw that, I'd say, what do you have? Can you come to my house and clean some stuff out for me? Can you help me? You know, my brother, he's lame. Can you fix him? Yeah, he could. But they asked him to leave. How about you? If you have an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior and your Lord, and you miss out on it, I'll tell you what. God can't make that decision for you. If it was up to me, I would drag you down here and I'd say, come on now, receive Jesus. I can't do that. You have to do it. It has to be your decision. Everybody pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe in Jesus. I believe He died for me. That my sins have been paid in full. My guilt is gone. Because You deal with me according to what Jesus did. And not according to my sin. I therefore receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I receive the forgiveness of my sins through the blood of Jesus. I thank You that I confess Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior from this moment forward. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Doesn't that give you just a light feeling? See, the law will put all the pressure on you to perform. And you can't. I mean, when have you done enough? When is it that you pass that magical line that you've done enough to be saved? It doesn't exist. And the more you do, the worse it gets. But if you come to Jesus, He's already paid it. And you find rest and grace. That is the truth. Amen? Period. The end. It was a fun service today with that skit. Oh, praise God. That was so good. And I think we got some business done with the Lord today. I think we can put on our shouting clothes and go out of here shouting rather than wondering what's going to happen. Amen. God's good. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You that Your life and breath, Your kiss is in that word. That the blood of Jesus washes us through the washing of the water by the word. That blood from heaven. We thank You, Father, that we are clean, we are washed. We are pure, we are holy. Why? Because You said so. And we can go with the insurance into this week knowing that we will be more than conquerors because You're with us. Both to will and to do of Your good pleasure. And we can face anything because we have the strength to do it. Because we're a joint heir with Christ. Amen.